Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, eggs. How you like your eggs? Over easy, scrambled, fried, hard-boiled? Whatever you like, there are so many eggs in the animal kingdom, and they can be bonkers, from tiny camouflaged works of art to very strange but ingeniously shaped eggs. We are taking eggs to a whole new level. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, when does giving birth coincide with home improvement? Joining me today is friend of the show, my close and personal friend, podcasting buddy, host of the podcast Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, which I'm also on that one too, Alex Schmidt. Welcome.
It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me for eggs, a thing don't think enough about.
Nobody thinks enough about eggs.
Yeah, I also feel like I have learned from various friends and so on that different American accents kind of say the word differently. So I hope everyone's comfortable with how I say the word eggs. Sometimes eggs. It kind of varies.
Eggs. I feel like I say eggs. I don't know. How do other people say it? Eggs? Eggs?
Like eggs. Like eggs. More of an A?
Eggs. Yeah. I say eggs.
I think I usually say eggs and sometimes I go eggs a little bit. And so we'll see what happens
to me
as we go on this journey.
Either way is excellent. So we're going to talk about some really interesting eggs. There are a lot of animals, from insects to monotremes, that lay eggs. And they are all very, very interesting. So Alex, you like a stick bug?
Yeah. Especially I've only ever seen them in like zoos. But they'll tend to be in a reptile house, maybe a little cubby where there's a stick insect living on a plant, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I love the bug house at like the San Diego Zoo. They have all sorts of cool insects, and there's always a stick guy in there just being sticky, going around like a stick. Stick insects belong to the phasmid order. We mostly think of them as these small brown stick-like bugs, but they can also be green. Rarely they can be bright colors, such as stick insects found in Madagascar, who can be bright blue and orange when males reach maturity. Oh. But most stick insects...
Bright blue and orange.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chargers
colors. I'm getting Chicago Bears football vibes. I like it. Feels great.
Wait, Chargers is yellow and blue. Or you're right. The Chicago Bulls? Bears?
Bears, yeah.
Bears.
And I don't watch football anymore, but the culture is meaningful to me. And the blue and orange, everyone can see you coming from a mile away.
You guys got a stick bug who's a fan.
So that's something. But yeah, most stick insects do go for camouflage. They try to mimic green or brown sticks or vegetation. Even really big stick insects try to blend in with their environment, such as Tinamorpha gargantua, which is the gargantuan stick insect found in Australia. Females can grow almost 2 feet long, which is over 55 centimeters. Males only grow a fraction of this and are thinner, which enables them to fly. For most stick bugs, the females are too thick to fly, too big, and the males are the ones that can fly. The bigger females are flightless, and their brown, branch-like appearance allows them to blend in with the forest canopy despite being so huge.
Yeah, 2 feet is a branch.
It's a branch. Like, that's branch bug. It's not a stick bug. That's a branch bug.
Yeah, like you can't throw it to your dog. You're like, too big, put it down. You need a different stick.
Oh, no, this poor... Imagine throwing this stick insect to your dog. It's like, oh, no! Not that kind of stick.
Hopefully become best friends.
Yeah.
Praying for it. Man, Callie got it.
That would be... I would love that story. A Pixar movie about a dog and a stick insect and their adventures together. Sounds good.
Carries around their friend, you know?
Right, yeah. And then they go and fight the Nazis or something. Anyways,
it's really escalated. Wow. Oh.
So these gargantuan stick insects, as well as other species of phasmids, lay eggs, either through sexual reproduction with a female with the eggs and a male fertilizing the eggs, or... if the female gets no male takers, they can actually reproduce through parthenogenesis, meaning that she can lay unfertilized clonal eggs. So, you know, if you can't find yourself a man, just pop out a few clones of yourself and call it a day.
Right. That is double pressure from your parents. Why haven't you found a partner? And also, why haven't you parthenogenesised grandchildren for us?
Yeah.
I guess they don't say it because, like me, they stumble over saying the word.
Parthenogenesis.
But otherwise, they will bring it up.
I feel like, parental guilt about having children would be trickier if they had to say parthenogenesis every single time. So, you know, one little obstacle.
Your frustrated dad is just like, why haven't you Parthenoned? I'm not learning the real word. Just Parthenon. Come on. Make a Greek temple.
Stop being on them face blocks and Parthenon a kid already. So, yeah, the eggs of stick bugs are actually no less fascinating than the stick bugs themselves because the eggs are also camouflaged. And Alex, I want you to guess what the eggs of a stick insect might be camouflaged as.
Like, the really fun one would be berries, right? Or nuts or something?
You are
like something
so
that
close.
Grows on a tree.
You are so close. So the eggs of many stick bug species mimic plant seeds. So isn't that cute? It's a stick bug.
That's cool.
And their eggs look like seeds.
They're just really doing, at this point, they're LARPing as a tree. They're doing all the parts.
It's a hardcore sort of fandom where they're naming their kids after trees. They're dressing up their kids as seeds. It's a little bit dorky. So,
Like, are they going to make a Wikia about tree canon and information now? Like, how deep is this going to go?
Yeah, I feel like stick insects are already pretty just nerdy when you look at them. And then you add in this whole this whole plant fixation. It's endearing, though. So the eggs mimic the seeds of local plants, depending on where the stick insects live. The mimicry can be very refined in certain stick insect species. So, for instance, the giant prickly stick insect lays eggs that look like seeds with a knob-like growth. And then these fake seeds, which are actually the eggs of the prickly stick insect, are actually carried off by spider ants into their colony because these ants often pick up seeds and bring them back to their colony because the ants eat these seeds. They actually eat part of these seeds this like nutritious knob on these seeds. And you might be asking, well, why would you want to disguise yourself as food for another animal? Which is a great question. And the ants only eat part of the fake seed eggs. So that like knob-like growth on the egg that mimics a seed is called a capitulum. And the capitulum is full of nutrients, but eating it does not damage the growing prickly stick bug larva inside the egg. So essentially, it's like it gives the ants a little gift, which is a little bit of edible part of the egg case because the ant thinks it's a seed. But then the prickly stick insect continues to develop. And when it hatches, its juvenile form mimics the spider ant. So it can proceed to be protected by this ant colony. So why does it want to be in the ant colony? Because ant colonies are full of protective soldier ants who will mess up whatever is trying to get inside of the ant colony. So this little juvenile stick bug mimics the ants. And then finally, as it develops, older juveniles will start to look like bark. And then finally, its adult morph looks like crumpled leaves. It's fantastic. It goes through this whole life cycle from an egg that looks like a little seed that tricks ants. Then they look like the ants themselves. Then they look like bark. And then they look like crumpled leaves. Incredible.
They did not need to go this hard at all. Mimicking one thing is a lot. And they decided, I'm going to have a different mimicry for each life stage. There are seasons to my life, and I'm going to be an autumn chapter when I'm a crumpled leaf. I'm going to be like you guys in the, are they called spider ants? The spider ant hill, which sounds like two bugs to me. This is a lot. This is great.
Yes, it's fantastic. There's this wonderful National Geographic article that shows a photo by Levon Biss in this National Geographic article about these phasmid eggs. And they are, I'll provide a link to both the National Geographic article and to this photographer's website in the show notes. But they're absolutely beautiful. They look like these intricate wood carvings. Now, in this photo, they look big, but this is like a macro photography. These are actually really, really tiny, like think really tiny head of a pin seeds. So when you can look at them though, when they're blown up and you look at them in detail, they are incredible looking. They're all sorts of different shapes. There's like there's sort of more conical shapes, there's oval shapes, there's even some that look like a weird, like almost like a totem pole or like it's a rod with like these little holes carved into it. It's just, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, this is so much to get up to as a juvenile or infant bug, right?
Yeah.
Like I aged many years before I did anything besides poop and cry. And these bugs are really on the ball immediately. They're like, I'm immediately an H.R. Giger figure in a positive way. Look at my phenomenal, weird nature art.
I'm still at the stage of pooping and crying a lot, you know? A lot of what I get up to.
It's our break from podcasting. It's what we do. We recharge.
And I'm afraid of being ashamed of it. Yeah, but I just love the complicated lifestyle of like basically from birth to the end. Like they are always tricking you. They're always, life's a stage for these phasmids.
Yeah, because that was so many schemes. You're a tree seed, and then part of you is eaten by ants, and then you pretend to be an ant, and then you pretended to be like
bark,
crumpled leaf, and I think something else before that.
It was bark before crumpled leaf, but yeah, bark. Exactly. It's just
it even sounds hard to do bark before leaf. I would think leaf would be thinner, easier. This is a lot.
It's a lot.
A scheme. I recently saw a show called Lupin that is on U.S. Netflix, where it's a French show about a master thief who also does disguises and elaborate schemes. And I'm just thinking of this guy telling his French friend about a plan to be various bugs and eggs.
It does. It feels like an Ocean's 11, but for insects. It's so convoluted. It seems like a fake, bad, fake movie script. for the insect world, but it's real. It's amazing.
Yeah. And this picture is buggers. I'm glad you're linking it for everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely check out that National Geographic article and the photographer's website, because it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about another egg, which is like a work of art or a work of engineering.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Alex, I know you don't like sea life too much, but how you feel about sharks?
Right. They're weirdly fine. And I have learned that my phobia is sort of constructed around, would it broadly make sense as a land animal?
Right.
And if sharks had legs, they would basically be some kind of smooth wolf. And so that's fine.
They're cool. Smooth wolves. That's a good way to put it. They're smooth, sandpapery wolves. I like sharks. I feel like they are sort of like fish doggies, and they're cute. And some of them will kill you, but they're typically harmless when you look at them as broadly in terms of all the species and stuff. And so such is the case with the horn shark, which I think is a cute one. Horn sharks are goofy, cute little sharks with spots. They grow only about a meter, which is 3 feet in length. So, you know, I feel like you could cuddle one of these. You wouldn't want to, because, like, I think that'd stress the shark out. But, you know, they also have a few defensive techniques, which would not be great for cuddling, but still, I think they're cute.
When I think of shark defensive techniques, I just think of biting me and eating me. So is that one of them?
No, not actually. They will bite. They can't really eat you because they're too small, but they do have another defensive technique other than biting. They actually have a set of two protective spines on each of their dorsal fins that can be sharp. So that's, is kind of like an anti-cuddling barbs going on there, which is a shame. But their temperament is very sweet. They are not that aggressive. They will bite you if they're harassed, but otherwise they're very chill. They eat crustaceans, small fish, sea urchins, mollusks, other small sea life. They do not actively go after people aggressively because they're so sweet.
That's nice.
They cool. live they live in the Pacific off the coast of North America down to Mexico, and they're actually so sweet. Their temperament is so good. In 2018, three people tried to smuggle a horn shark out of an aquarium in a baby stroller.
A baby stroller. I immediately was imagining some kind of duffel bag full of water. I like that it's a baby stroller.
It's a baby stroller. Put a pacifier in its mouth and it sucks on it like Maggie Simpson.
Right.
So they scooped the shark out of the tank and they wrapped the shark in a wet blanket and put it in a stroller. And
right. And then shouted, "Are you calling my baby ugly?" at anyone who even looked at it, like preemptively. Like, that's the move. Just shame them into not questioning it.
So this was in the San Antonio Aquarium. The shark's name was Miss Helen.
and this is in Mexico. It's not San Antonio, Texas.
I think it was Texas, actually.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff named after him. Yeah. San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio, Texas is where it was. This is definitely a Texas. This was in Texas. Yes.
Oh, isn't phenomenal.
Isn't that where Brenda's from?
Yes.
Yes. So wait a minute. What was Brenda doing in 2018?
Telling me she was bringing a child home and then suddenly dropping the subject. So I don't know. Couldn't be her.
So, yeah, they wrapped Miss Helen, this juvenile horn shark, in a wet blanket, put her in a stroller.
God.
The shark did survive. The suspects were apprehended. The shark was returned to the aquarium when the thieves were caught. The reason they kidnapped this cute baby shark is that it sells really well in the pet trade. So unfortunately, like a shark liberation front, which would be misguided but really funny. This was like they go for a lot of money in the pet trade because they're really pretty and docile. I guess while it's not like a nice life for them, I guess people who have large aquariums, they put them in there. These are survivors. They're pretty hardy. Sharks that are accidentally caught in fishing nets can often be returned to the ocean and survive. So they're troopers, and they're sweet, and they're precious little babies. And while you should not roll it around in a baby stroller, I love that that did happen, and I wish I could have seen it.
Yeah, there's so much else to do in San Antonio. Go to the Riverwalk, have a breakfast taco.
Right. Breakfast
catch a Spurs game. They have an astounding new French guy now. Like, do that.
Spurs game. Put a shark in a straw. Wait, no.
No.
Okay. Breakfast burrito. Put shark in straw. Wait, damn. Oh. It's hard. It's just like breathing. It's natural for me. So on to the eggs, because this is really cool. The sharks are really cool in their own right, but we're talking about the eggs. So like a lot of sharks, they will lay basically egg cases. So they have an egg case that covers a developing shark embryo. Some sharks give live birth, but a lot of sharks will lay these egg cases. So egg cases are made up of a tough collagen, and different species lay different shapes. Oh. Sometimes they're kind of like, they look like little purses or little crescents. But the horn shark egg case are shaped like corkscrews, and they are incredible looking. They look like, you were talking about like H.R. Giger earlier, Geiger.
Yes, yeah.
It looks like some science fiction-y thingy. It is this like beautiful corkscrew. It's smooth. It looks like it's made out of plastic. But they're incredible looking.
Yeah, I'm seeing the picture, and it looks like a man-made auger or cool screw, but also sort of like a grenade in a good way. It's great. It's
you really, toss really it, and a awesome. Little baby shark pops out. So cute.
Oh wow.
The cutest grenade.
And then we sing the song.
No.
Baby shark.
My god. That song has ruined talking about shark life cycles. So, but not only is it shaped like a corkscrew, it actually functions like a corkscrew. So the shape of this egg case allows the egg sac to become wedged in rocky crevices or on the sandy floor, and it kind of screws in there, and that protects it from both predators and currents and allows it to kind of latch onto get wedged into like a crevice or down in some sand. So it sort of screws in naturally. I've read different things regarding how this happens. Some research indicates it kind of naturally ends up wedged in crevices just due to the shape. I've also read at least one source that contends that the female shark intentionally picks up the egg case and like puts it near a suitable spot or kind of wedges it in. But I haven't been able to find any really good observational studies about whether they do this, whether females like actually themselves manually wedge it in. The thing that seems more likely is that it naturally just kind of like she lays it in an area that's pretty suitable, and then the gravity and currents end up kind of pushing it into crevices. But I really wish and I really hope that they find evidence that these sharks are grabbing the egg case and just screwing it in like a light bulb into a rocky crevice.
Right. The evidence is a screwdriver.
Right.
Like a shark screwdriver. We just find that and then simple.
Man, can you imagine if Tim Allen was a shark?
Yeah, making that noise. Uh-huh. What I actually want is Shark Al, right? Al was his friend on Home Improvement. Yeah. That would be great.
Wait, which Al one Borland? Was Al? Was Al the one on the other side of the fence?
No, that's Wilson.
Okay.
Which would also be a fantastic shark because that's just the fin instead of his hat.
Right.
But Al is the bearded guy on the show, the side.
Oh, right.
Who's not Pamela Anderson.
Man, you know what? I never watched that show as a kid. I saw that come on and that was an immediate channel change. You think 6-year-old me wants to learn about saws and home improvement? Think I could handle that much flannel on the television? No.
Right, and they failed to make them all various species of cuddly sharks.
If they had been sharks in that show, I would have watched it, and I probably would have learned how to do home improvement, which I assume is the purpose of the show.
It is so distinctly weird that a major character was the top of a guy's hat behind a fence.
Yeah.
Who, like, you probably don't know from not seeing it, but Tim Allen would be in his backyard having whole conversations every week with the top of a guy's hat, and you never see his face. And I mean,
that is very shark-coded, right? Because, like, sharks are super famous in a lot of movies just for their fin, which I think that's good branding right there. Like, your fin or your hat is, like, just a synecdoche for you. You've done good. You've done good branding there.
Yeah, it makes much more sense from a shark. He really should have been a shark, and frankly could have been a shark. You can put a hat on a fin. No one will stop you.
You can put a hat on a fin. No one will stop you. That's such a good philosophy. Thank you, Alex. Well, let that settle in, that beautiful phrase, and we will take a quick break, and then we will return wiser and better.
Yeah. Everyone provide one picture of you doing that, and then you can keep
putting
listening.
Putting a hat on your fin, your dorsal fin.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we are back, and we are going to talk about some complex egg engineering. Egg-geneering? Wow, I wrote that joke in my notes, and I just came up with it now. I'm really predictable.
I mean, it's how the English language works, folks. It's what's coming, you know?
Right.
Come on. Get on board. Put a hat on a fin, too. I have a lot of commands this week.
Put a hat on a fin. So this comes, this incredible egg engineering feat comes from one of the most deadly, most despised animals on the planet. Can you guess, Alex?
An even bigger shark, like a mega shark.
Go in the opposite direction.
an even smaller shark? Micro shark.
I walked into that when I set that one up. No, this is the mosquito. The mosquito, yes. Common house mosquitoes lay their eggs in fresh, slow-moving, or stagnant water. As you may have known, like if you live anywhere where there's like bodies of water, but it maybe ponds and it's during mosquito season and they're just freaking everywhere, biting you up. It's because they use stagnant water to lay their eggs.
Yeah, gross. Cut it out.
Cut it out. Knock it off. but yeah, so when the eggs hatch, the mosquito larva is aquatic. It breathes air through a tube on their butt. So their rear ends have a tube that they breathe through. Okay. And they kind of float bottoms up and will feed on microscopic organisms in the water. And then they will molt into their adult flying forms. And then they go around being pests and spreading disease, but also providing food for a lot of animals.
Breathing through a tube of the butt feels like something some kind of pseudoscience health influencer will try to tell me I can do.
Man,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, if you just tried harder, you would be doing this.
I've definitely seen butt sunbathing where you're supposed to go naked and like hold your butt out to the sun. And it's supposed to do something. I would caution against it unless you put sunscreen on your butt. In which case, you know, go for it. I'm not going to tell you no. But it, yeah, this is definitely goop-esque, breathing through your butt with like a straw, essentially. I think they sell those actually, butt straws to breathe through.
Right, because they tell you can do it. Literally, and then when you find out you can't, they'll be like, actually, like spiritually, you can do it if you just align your chakras to breathe through the butt. And I know chakras are a real thing in a specific way, but like internet people use it for nonsense.
It's definitely not what you're saying, Alex, in terms of something you can breathe through your butt. You've just offended so many people. I definitely could see there being like a sort of woo-woo spiritual grift of breathing energy through your butt.
Right, you're getting bad energy through your mouth.
Right.
And somehow the good one will come through your butt.
Yeah. And they just sell you basically an enema or something. Anyways, these mosquitoes are actually breathing air, oxygenated air through their butt tubes. we are talking about the eggs because the eggs that the mosquitoes lay in the water are particularly interesting because this species of mosquito, along with other species, but we're talking about the common house mosquito, they lay egg rafts. So egg rafts.
That's cool.
Made out of eggs. These are tiny rafts made out of hundreds of eggs. The eggs are so small that each raft is only a fraction of an inch big. Like, there's, I've shared a couple of photos with you. One is of the raft, and it looks like a bunch of grains of rice, kind of like stuck together into a floating raft form. But they are much smaller than rice, way smaller than rice.
Yeah, rice is dead on, or like a brief toothbrush bristle, like a bunch of toothbrush bristles.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a toothbrush.
Very short, too short for my teeth.
Gonna be thinking about that when I brush my teeth. Like, this is like mosquito eggs that I'm rubbing on my teeth. Thanks for that.
Yeah, glad I can bring that to the world. You're welcome.
But
put it on your fin.
But yeah, the scale of it is kind of hard to tell from this photo. But there's another photo of, like, you see, it's like it's just this tiny. The entire raft itself is smaller than a grain of rice, and it fits on like your finger, very tippy tip of your fingertip. So each egg is really, really tiny. But
I guess it's still bigger than I imagined somehow. Like,
yeah,
it's tiny for sure, and then. I think of all mosquito things as being microscopic, even though they are big enough to see.
Yeah, but still, like, the thing that you're seeing, the visible thing on the finger that is like small, still smaller than a grain of rice, is hundreds of eggs. That's like hundreds of eggs together as this raft. And so so basically the raft is formed through this cluster of vertical eggs, and the raft is buoyant due to a bubble of air inside the egg and the exterior of the egg being water resistant. So it's like an inflatable raft, but it's made out of mosquito eggs.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's just cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them. And a good use of their weird stagnant water rather than the flowing water that us proper people like.
That's proper. A polite society likes flowing water. But I mean, the reason they want these to float is, like, if you are setting it up such that when they hatch, they want to be floating butt up so they can breathe through that butt straw. You want to be on the surface of the water. You don't want to be, you know, kind of settle to the bottom of the water or get eaten by a fish.
Oh, it's all coming together.
Yeah.
The butt tube was so critical to the engineering and the understanding.
The butt tube is sort of, they can like hang out in water, benefit from the nutrients in the water. And then when they hatch, they, fly off and are a menace.
It's like a little chorus in a cartoon, like when a dozen cartoon characters are singing, all their mouths are up. You know, but this is their butts are up.
But it's the butts that are up. That's not the first thing that pops into my head, but let's go with that.
I guess I'm very musical. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I once found a bunch of mosquito larvae in a wheelbarrow that had been rained in. And I didn't know anything about anything because I was a kid. And so I just thought I had discovered a new type of cool, tiny water bug. And so I thought maybe they were sea monkeys, naturally occurring sea monkeys. Sea monkeys, by the way, are just brine shrimp. But these, I collected a bunch of them in a jar. I brought them home. I was so excited about it. And I showed my parents. They're like, oh, that's mosquito larvae. Like, you say what? Like, that's a bunch of mosquito larvae. I'm like, I'm pretty sure these are sea monkeys that I found in our backyard, Mom and Dad. And, it turned out that they were indeed mosquito larvae. So I brought them to show and tell. My teacher was, looking at it through pursed lips. Yeah. I kept it sealed. She was like very concerned. She's like, keep that jar closed, please. And then I brought it home, and I think I gave it to my dad, and I think he like flushed them or something. I'm not really sure what happened. They certainly were not given an opportunity to turn into a bunch of mosquitoes inside of the home.
I have so many questions about the flow of this, because at least one of your parents has a lot of like biological training, right? Like understands.
Nope. No, they just.
Are they an oceanographer or something?
Well, yeah. So he's an engineer who works for an oceanography. But that, I don't know if that helps you with mosquito larva. I think it was just they'd seen their fair share of mosquito larva.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was imagining some big gulf of knowledge between your parents knowing a lot and your teacher not knowing that stuff. And so that they just get
Katie's
going to bring some larvae. Be cool about it. Bye. You know?
I think the teacher also knew it was larvae and she was just like, didn't want a bunch of mosquito larvae to get loose in the classroom, which is reasonable, I think.
Right. At every turn, young Katie is running into jerk squares
right.
who aren't down with her mosquito larvae liberation plan.
Like, I found a puppy and it's just a lot of cockroaches. A lot of cockroaches. Like, that's not a puppy. It's like, well, I think it's a puppy and I'm bringing it to show and tell. But yeah, so that's the mosquito larvae are really fascinating. They're really interesting looking. The way that they breathe through their rear ends is really cool, and they kind of move around in a really cool way, and they look interesting. They're sort of this kind of like almost like they look like weird, not curly shrimp, but really tiny, and they're very strange looking. Cool. And but yeah, it's like I think that when we consider the humble mosquito, we just think about the adults that are super annoying, but not these really interesting earlier morphs of the mosquito. And it's still a really interesting little animal, despite how destructive it is.
Yeah, and this is such a global feature, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the, some various species will not be near you when you think about them, but like these are all around us.
Mosquitoes are
they're all over the earth because they build these weird rafts and breathe through their butts on top of the raft.
Transatlantic boat everywhere. Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They cause a lot of diseases. They're not great in terms of disease spread, but they're important for the ecosystem. It's important to both respect them but also try to protect people from malaria, which we can do both, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, there's room.
There's room.
Yeah.
And there's so many mosquitoes. We can kill a lot of them. Sorry to kill a good amount of them, and they will still be around. But, they do build rafts. So in that way, they are somewhat like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I have never had occasion to construct a raft. And I think if somebody approached me about it, I would ask if we are stranded or something.
Right. Yeah,
it feels like definite mistake on a sandy island activity.
Right. I feel like I would die in that situation because I don't think I could build a raft. I'd probably get distracted and do a wicker chair or something. I'd probably try to make it too fancy, and then the whole thing would sink like a small wooden Titanic. Like I shouldn't have had a bar and a conversation pit on this raft.
I knew I shouldn't have fallen in love with someone from a different social class on the raft. There wasn't room at all.
So, yes, mosquitoes build the world's tiniest rafts, and that's pretty cool. But before we go, we got to play a little game, Alex. You like games?
Yes.
You like games. This game is called Guess Who's Squawkin'. It's the Mystery Animal Squawkin' Sound game. Every week I play Mystery Animal Sound, and you, the listener, and you, the guest, try to guess who's making that sound. It can be any animal in the world or out of the world. I don't know. Once we find them, it could be. Last week's mystery animal sound hint was this. Do not adjust your television and ignore the barking in the background. This hisser is better off in a manger. All right, Alex, did you hear that beautiful noise?
Yes.
Yeah, that beautiful hissing sound.
Yeah. It It sounds like something leaking, but cooler.
Hmm.
I almost feel like it's like an ambient purring, but weird. Like some kind of... Is it some kind of like fox or something? I'm going to go with a fox.
That's a good guess. Foxes can make some pretty weird noises. You are wrong, so you're not going home with a brand new Ford Fiesta. This is a young barn owl hissing. So congratulations to Kat S. and Heather E., who guessed correctly.
Good job. Wow.
This is a barn owl. Barn owls are cosmopolitan. They are found almost everywhere in the world, except in extremely hot desert or extremely cold Arctic climates and in a lot of islands. They're not found, but otherwise they're pretty cosmopolitan. They have a white heart-shaped face, white bellies, and tan backs and sort of tan heads that like wraps around their face like a hood. They're beautiful owls. They're one of the most beautiful owls, I think. And they're often sort of used in movies to like, oh, look at this owl.
Very elegant. Yeah.
Very elegant. Elegant. They feed on small rodents, reptiles, amphibians, and insects, as well as the occasional small bird. Because they have evolved to seek out dry, pre-existing shelters for their nests, they often roost in old buildings, particularly barns, which are open structures. So this is why they're called barn owls. Barn owls do not hoot. They either shriek or hiss. The sounds that come out of them are horrifying, despite looking so beautiful and elegant. Yeah. They don't, like if you hear a beautiful hoot and you're watching a movie and then you see like a barn owl pictured, like the movie is lying to you because barn owls do not hoot. They go.
Right. The hooting was probably from one of the human romantic leads in the story. They were hooting at each other and you're confused. Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, so that is the sound of a barn owl.
That's such a gift to get to hoot as an animal. And it's weird that they'd pass that up to hiss. But I guess they want snake privilege and they want to hiss. That's cool.
Snake privilege. Yeah. I mean, the hissing is a little more threatening, I guess. But hooting is, I do like a hoot.
Fantastic.
It's a great sound. Little
Yeah. And every owl we would accept it from, but barn owls are like, don't need it. I'm going to hiss in your attic.
So on to this week's mystery animal sound. The hint is this: don't add this fuzzy fellow to your fruit salad. All right, Alex, any guesses?
I want it to be something so cute, but it's probably fuzzy, and I probably ate it in a fruit salad, so...
I told you not to. Don't add this fuzzy fellow to your fruit salad.
I'm just so rebellious. I think, let's say it's going to be some kind of colorful frog. There's all those colorful frogs out in the rainforest there. Maybe one of those.
Colorful frog is Alex's guess.
Yeah.
Do you out there have a guess? Write to me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. And if you guess correctly, maybe I'll be like, hey, good job. You did it. We will find out who is making that sound on the next episode of Creature Feature. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find you? Are there perhaps other podcasts that you do?
It is such a joy to make Secretly Incredibly Fascinating with you, my buddy. We do it every week. It's a lot of fun, and I hope people check it out.
Do check it out. It's really great. I like it because Alex does most of the work on that show. So that makes me happy.
And vice versa with guesting on this. It's a joy. It's great.
It's fun to not do work and to talk. That's Always a benefit.
Yeah.
No, but it's an excellent show. I really enjoy being on it. I feel like
you're so good.
Well, thank you. But it's the Alex energy makes it a real fun show, and I learn a lot. So I assume you also learn a lot. So yeah, check out Secretly Incredibly Fascinated. Thank you guys so much for listening. You're enjoying the show and you leave a rating or review, I would be so pleased to see that, because I read every single review. All the ratings really do help me. It's fantastic. And thank you to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. I don't judge you, not your mother. I can't tell you what to do. You gotta live your own life, make your own mistakes. You know, get out on your tiny little mosquito raft and just ride those waves that we call life. I'll see you next Wednesday.
Also, breathe out of your butt. That's required.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.